Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So Liza Minnelli, you know, is on the Larry King Show, and I couldn't quite put a handle or really encapsulate my feelings about her wedding because I realized I didn't really have an opinion about her getting married. What's wrong with a woman getting married? And there's nothing wrong with someone being happy. It's just as long as she's such a popular person, I think I am entitled to some observation. And she's on the Larry King Show, and Larry comes out with one of his usual real solid questions like,
"Hey, Liza, why do you think the wedding was so big?"
And she answers, and this is the thing, it isn't that she, who is that? Oh, God, it's Raquel Welch. The people that showed up at this wedding, as I'm sure you've heard already, this is like something out of a fever dream. This is like something out of a Hieronymus Bosch painting. Somebody in some kind of a red... I just saw somebody in a red fright wig, and they said it was like Henry Kissinger or something. Is that right? Can't be. It can't be. I refuse to believe it. Anyway, says,
"All right, Liza, why do you think this wedding was so big?"
Keith, I don't know, Larry. It's just that, you know, I think New York needed something to be happy about.
And all of a sudden I'm going, Jesus, she's got a lateral lisp on top of everything else, which is an identifiable dental problem, lateral lisp. You've heard people who
talk like this? It's called a lateral lisp.
Because they're not talking like this. See, because that's coming out the front.
But if it's like this...
So in other words, if you talk like this, you're Doug Danger.
If you talk like this, you're Liza Minnelli.
And it's nothing like... She's just so odd, isn't she? I mean, we're all weird. We're all... Yeah, you're right, we're all weird. I think celebrities are odd because they're carrying the weight of expectation. They're carrying the weight of imprinting. We imprint. Somehow we either suck out of or we put into these people what we want to be or what we want them to be. And so they're trying to be everything that they can for everybody. And you wind up like Liza Minnelli with a fright wig and a lisp. I mean, how could any human being carry the expectations of so many people and try to make so many people happy? You can't do it. And I think the problem that this poor lady, Liza Minnelli, has undergone is that she's trying to be everything to everybody.
So she's talking like this, and her hair is...
And she's marrying some guy who looked like he got half of a liposuction job on his ass. This cat that she married, but there he is. The guy she married... I didn't mean to say liposuction. What happens when they shoot fat into your lip? What's it called? He got a half a collagen job on his lip. The lower lip they did fine. The upper lip, it's not there. Plus, he's got the hound dog eyes. Whatever. Like I'm saying, yeah, you look at me, right? All you got to do is go on the website to see what a fat clown I am. You want to see a blimp with a Panama hat, check out my website. So, no, I don't mean to make fun. But I honestly do believe, and I don't think that I'm wrong in this, the bigger the presence of celebrity, the more right I have as a commentator to make comment. See, it's the old story. Nobody wants to see the little guy get slapped down because he's a little guy. How can he defend himself, right? But the bigger you are, the bigger... Oh, boy, look at Bette Midler. Ain't she something else? With that schnoz and the red hair. And here we have... who's this? Is this Lou Gossett? Wait, she married a Chinaman. This guy's Chinese. The new husband of Liza Minnelli, ladies and gentlemen, is Chinese. I don't mean to make fun, but he apparently is not. In other words, did you see the guy? Have you ever seen Connie Chung? Well, you got it. And he's like Italian or something. I swear it. He's got, just imagine, bloodshot, bloodhound eyes and one lip. That's him.
And there's Liza, and she's in love.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. She married George Takei from whatever the hell it is, Star Trek. There's nothing wrong with being happy, Liza. You know, forgive me, but I really think you need a rest. I think you need to just take the rest of your life off. I think you deserve it. I think you, many people enjoy you. I'm not one of them, but what difference does that make? You know, like, big wow. Phil Hendry doesn't get it about you. I know many people love you. Maria can't stop singing Cabernet. Is it Cabernet or Cabaret? Oh, no. Maria can't stop drinking Cabernet. She can't stop singing Cabaret. That's it. And all through the house, after a bottle of Cabernet, life is a cab. All I ever hear, and it must have been a great movie, and good for you. I happen to have been going to a whole lot of Spirit and Country Joe and the Fish concerts, so I missed a lot of that. You'll forgive me, but when I was 19, I was going to see The Who. I didn't catch too much Liza. You're entitled to be whatever you want to be. But I get to say something about it, don't I? Now, Larry King, who's a friend to all and just loves everybody, and he knows everybody, by the way. If you don't know, just ask Larry. He knows everyone. He knows everybody. It does Jesus Christ, he knows. He interviewed Jesus. Must be painful up there, huh? As he was hanging, bleeding from the cross. And Jesus said, would you mind getting me a beer or something to drink? All right, we'll be right back after I get Jesus a beer. Oh, wait, I don't drink. So that was, well, you're Jewish, you don't drink either. So Larry knows everybody, and he's a big star, and there's Liza, and... Oh, so Liza, why is this thing so big?
Well, what are you talking about, Larry?
And meanwhile, Larry King, he's got, like, a big roll of Bounty towels wiping off his glasses.
Because the lateral lisp, it's all over the place.
I'm Larry King, and he's got little windshield wipers going on his glasses as he's talking to Liza. You know... Thanks a lot. Let me just comb my hair back. Well, I don't need any gel. I'm Larry King, and when I do those Ginkgo commercials, I sound like I need an enema. Larry, when he talks just like a normal human being. But for some reason, when he introduces his show, tonight on Larry King, I'm still trying to squeeze one out. Then he goes back to, hi, I'm Larry, and how are you, Liza?
Oh, just great, Larry.
Why'd you come on our show?
Because you booked me? What kind of a stupid-ass question is that?
He did. He said, why did you come on our show? And she goes,
you know what? I've been thinking about it, and I really don't have an answer for that.
He asked her, why did you come on our show? And she sits there and goes,
you know something? I got off the prescription painkillers, I'm off the booze, and I'm down to half a pack a day. And you got to ask me a question like that? Now I remember it. I'm on your show. It looks like I'm back on the juice.
If anything was going to push her back to the painkillers and the juice, Larry, was you reminding her that she's on your show. I'm Larry King, and tonight Liza Minnelli's on our show.
Oh, Jesus, that reminds me.
Now she's back doing like a bottle of that Fiji rum. But you're cool. Hey, Liza, why on our show?
I lost a bet.
Oh, okay.
It's either me or my husband.
Anyway... People are entitled to be happy, and I wish for Liza Minnelli, let me tell you the best thing for her. Retire from show business. Retire from show business. Stay married to the, is he Taiwanese? Or, oh, I'm sorry, no, to your new husband. And then actually have sex with a man. Probably it'll have to be somebody other than your husband. And, you know, relax. Relax. What is it with these people? They got $75 million in the bank, $100 million in the bank, $150 million, whatever it is, and they got to keep on working, man. They got to keep on working. How come you're working, Liza?
Because I just know my fans want it.
No, we don't want it anymore. Go away. Look at you, got $150, $200 million in the bank. You got an infinity pool that drops off to the Pacific Ocean. You got a 15-bedroom home on a fjord in Finland where you can see the northern lights in the morning. And at night, you can see the Southern Cross and the Northern Star. And, you know, every fifth of the month, Jesus comes down in the rapture. You have got a entryway that the Taj Mahal doesn't have. You've got, like, naked aesthetics from India playing the flute at your every time you ring the dinner bell. And you got it all going on, man. What the hell do you need this stuff for?
I just can't stop performing.
Oh, well, do me a favor. Will you stop performing? Can I just be honest with you? The day I put $75 million in the bank, you can kiss my ass goodbye. Isn't it in your blood, Phil? Don't you want to keep the old radio thing? No, I do not. No, uh-uh. Well, come on, I know you need to be on the air. No, I don't need to be on the air, as a matter of fact. No, I don't. Well, I mean, you do such an interesting show. Yeah, that's great, man. Just give me the money. I'm gone. I told a guy from the LA Times today, came in to interview me. I said, $15 million in the bank, goodbye. And here is this lady. She's gone through painkiller addiction, booze, hip replacement, knee replacement, ass replacement. She's got a husband that looks like one of the Mongol horde. She has been through hell and back. She's given everything she's got to give, and she ain't got no more to give. And they're making fun of her on the radio right now, on the Phil Hendry Show. What does she need this crap for? Settle back, enjoy your money, baby. You know, pour yourself a big drink, and if the new husband you got doesn't approve of it, you know what, tell him to go and make a friend. But get out of there, man, because I'm telling you, you don't need much more of Larry saying, Liza Minnelli, up next after this from Ginkgo. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Art Griego joins us. Art is a former professional baseball player. We wanted to talk a little bit more about the case of the little girl in Columbus. This is a young lady who died from being struck. The injuries suffered from being struck by a hockey puck. And Art, I know you played. You didn't play Major League Baseball, did you?
No, Phil, I did not. I played Triple A baseball, which is minor league. And I don't really want to comment on this child. I think it's a tragic thing. What I can comment on is the frustration that you feel as a player, and why some of these things happen. Because we're players, and I think as players, we're victims too in all of this. Let's not forget the abuse that we put up with.
Well, what do you mean as players, you're victims too?
Well, I think you go out, you do the best that you can. You're a baseball player, you're a hockey player. In my case, I was a baseball player. I played first base, and because of that position, I could hear what the fans were yelling. I could hear them heckling. And I got to tell you, Phil, it starts to get to you because it becomes, I wouldn't care, but then they start talking about your mother and, you know, the size. I mean, it's just, I'm thinking about all those years ago when I was a baseball player. You get angry.
Well, you're getting angry at what? You're out on the field and you're hearing fans yelling at you?
Yeah, the fans yell, they heckle, they talk about your mother, they talk about your parentage, they'll talk about the size of your penis. Sometimes you try to take steps to defend yourself against this kind of abuse. And I guess there may be a tie-in with the Columbus situation.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, keep in mind a professional baseball player is a professional for a reason. He can control bat speed. He can control the direction of a pitch, the direction when he hits it. And I will tell you that I knew plenty of guys who had enough, they had enough of some guy sitting behind the dugout flapping his mouth, and you get a fastball just outside, and you can punch that into the stands on a rope and pretty well aim it right at whatever big mouth is yelling. I mean, that's common practice.
You're kidding.
No.
You're saying that professional Major League Baseball players, as any professional baseball player, will hear some guy heckling him.
If you can identify who it is. Again, it's generally somebody in the front rows. And it is not a difficult thing to get a pitch and to think, you know something, I'm going to foul one off. If I get a pitch that I can foul off, I'm going to punch it over toward that guy and just give him something to think about. And I can tell you, I knew guys, I played baseball with guys that were good enough that they could hit a foul ball right at the mouth of some big mouth. And as I think about it, I just get angry. I wasn't that good. I could generally foul one off in the general direction, but I could never do what I saw a couple of guys do. I played with one guy by the name of Bill Buell, and we played together in the Pacific Coast League. And Billy could actually hit a foul ball directly at the face of a fan that was heckling him.
And hit him?
And hit him. And
Are you saying this is what was the case in Columbus?
No, I don't think that was the case with this little girl. I think that was a tragic mistake. I'm just saying, as players, we hear a lot about how the fans are abused or how the fans don't get enough. We get abused, too, and we get heckled, too. And I have seen fans lose an entire month of teeth because they wouldn't shut their mouths. I've seen concussions. I'm certain that wasn't the case with the little girl. I don't know. I don't think she said anything offensive. I think it was just a tragic mistake. But in the case, baseball, we'll foul them back. And
So I've never heard this before. So baseball players take shots at fans in the stands?
Yeah.
Does it just happen at bat?
No, there are times you can overthrow a play. You can get so angry if you're throwing the ball to first base, but there was a guy sitting behind first base, running his mouth, running his yap, talking about your mother, talking about the size of your genitals, and you get a ground ball, and instead of hitting the first baseman, you'll throw it into the stands right at the guy. And a couple of times, it's been worth it. Now, I remember one particular game in Colorado Springs. I had had enough of this one guy who'd been yelling at me, and I overthrew the pitcher on a relay, and I hit this guy directly in the face with the ball. But there was some satisfaction I got out of it.
All right, we're talking with Art Griego. He's a former professional baseball player. You played in Triple-A baseball. Did you ever play in the majors?
I had a cup of coffee with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but I never. It's just in spring training.
All right, and you're saying in professional baseball, the players will actually aim foul balls or aim thrown balls at fans that have been heckling them.
That is correct. And the reason why people are getting hit in the stands maybe is because they're insensitive to the needs of the players. They don't allow for the needs of the players, and we do have feelings too. They get to have their feelings, but we don't get to have our feelings. So what's that about? I mean, did you ever play pro sports, Mr. Henry?
No, I never played professionally.
Well, you see right there, then how do you know how we feel?
Well, I mean,
you don't know, you know.
No, I don't claim that I do.
So the best way for fans to avoid getting hit with hockey pucks or baseballs is to just shut up with the personal comments, or they're going to get...
Well, they don't deserve to die, do they?
No, and I'm not saying that that's what happened to this little girl. But you can't control the ball once it leaves the bat. I may be aiming for you because you said some insulting things, but I'm not trying to kill you. But if that happens,
Well, let's go back to your career, Art. In a minor league game in Colorado Springs, Colorado, 1988, you fouled one back in a game, knocking out a fan. And it says here you put him in a coma for a month and a half. Is that true?
That is true.
And you were sued, weren't you?
Yeah, but he didn't collect.
But you did that on purpose, didn't you?
Oh, you bet. You bet.
So you did it on purpose.
He was the boyfriend of my ex-wife, and they were sitting behind home plate. And it had been my third time up, and I hadn't had a hit, and he finally went over the line.
When you say he went over the line, what did he say?
Well, he was egged on by my wife. He called me Needle Blank, and I won't go into it, but he called me a name.
He called you Needle Blank.
Right. And so I found one out, and you call me that name, and guess what? The lights go out for 40 days, and that's what happened to him. But I don't understand why a fan should be able to hurl abuse at a player. What gives them the right to be cruel?
All right, but again, as you pointed out, we don't know that that was the case with this little girl.
No, I think that girl was entirely innocent. I'm just talking about as a player when I get heckled.
All right, so we're kind of off in a different thing. We're talking with Art Griego, a former professional baseball player who says that during his playing career, he would intentionally foul balls or throw balls into the stands to hurt fans because they were heckling you.
That's right. And again, Phil, we have feelings too. Ball players have had their feelings ignored for a long time, and I think it's time we acknowledge the feelings of the players, that we are doing the best we can, we're trying to play the game as hard as we can, and it just flat hurts to hear some guy in the stands make a comment about the size of your you-know-what or the parentage of your mother or something like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We talked to Art Griego, professional ball player, 1-800-449-8686. Art acknowledges that some baseball players intentionally hit balls into the stands or throw balls into the stands to hit fans who've been heckling them. And in one case, he put some guy in a coma for 40 days. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And we're with Doug Dang, or not Doug, we had Doug on earlier. We are with Art Griego. He is a former professional baseball player. Speaking of the death of the little girl in Columbus, Ohio, she was hit with a puck in a professional hockey game and died. Now, you're saying that in baseball, some players purposefully foul balls into the stands or throw balls into the stands to hit the fans. I want to make it clear, you're not saying this is the case with this child.
I don't know. If she said something, it might have pissed off the guy that hit the puck.
You're telling me the 14-year-old girl, this 13-year-old girl said something to piss off a hockey player?
I don't know. It's possible. I don't know what happened. I'm just saying, you know, keep your kids safe. Just keep your mouth, you know, what I would say is keep your mouth shut and keep your kids safe.
And what does that mean, keep your mouth shut and keep your kids safe?
It means if you open your mouth at a hockey game or a baseball game or any game and start ragging the players or heckling the players, you might get a mouthful of baseball or puck. And I don't think that that is a pretty thing. I don't think it is a desirable thing. And
I'm having a hard time. Are you saying this kid in Columbus said something to get a puck hit at her?
I don't know. I've been around some hockey players. Some kid wisecracks off in the front row. Next thing you know, they're going for a slap shot right into somebody's teeth. I don't know. But I'm just saying, here is a word to the wise and a rule of thumb. When you go to a baseball game or a hockey game or any sporting event, applaud politely, boo if you need to boo, but keep it to a minimum and keep your comments to yourself, keep your mouth shut, and maybe you'll walk out of the arena without a headache. Or the ballpark without a headache. I think it's time that ballplayers' feelings get taken into consideration. I can remember walking out of many a game feeling dejected, feeling that I had been emotionally raped by some of the comments of these fans saying that I, you know, had a rubber arm or who was my mother and this kind of thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 with Art Griego, former baseball player. Itor?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
All right. I really think that this guy needs to be put, I don't know about in jail, but something like that. I used to be a professional soccer player in Spain. And
That's not the same thing.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
how's that? How are you going to hurt anybody with a soccer ball? I'm talking about a baseball.
No. It has nothing. It's not exactly the same thing. But my point is that, you know, people. You're a professional athlete. You're gonna go to the stadium, and you've gotta know that part of the game is for people to, you know, insult you and say bad things about you, especially if you're not doing your job.
But that hurts my feelings. Doesn't it hurt you?
It doesn't really hurt my feelings.
It doesn't hurt your feelings at all. If somebody said to you, "Hey, Itor, you got a rubber leg."
No, it doesn't. You know, I'm out there playing my game. I don't need to be worried about what people are saying. You know, and. You know, one thing is that it could bother me, or it could, you know, it might bother me, it might not bother me, but that you can throw a ball and try to intentionally hurt somebody. It's like if you're an engineer.
So I'm supposed to
let's say that you're an engineer, you're working on a project, and that your boss comes to you and says, "Oh, well, you messed up on this thing." And you're going to punch him or something?
No, but I mean, I'm out there, and some guy starts talking about my mother. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you right now, I don't mind if the other team scores a run or two. I'm going to get that guy. And, you know, let me ask you a question, because I'm not familiar with soccer, but I read a story. Aren't European soccer players known for raping women that heckle them?
What are you talking about, man?
That's completely out of the point.
If women heckle soccer players, they generally rape them.
What are you saying?
If they do, they should be put in jail. I mean, I'm not saying that whatever they do is not right. I mean,
why?
Whatever you do is not right.
Yeah, but you're entitled to your feelings, aren't you?
What do you mean he's entitled to his feelings? What, to the point where he rapes a woman?
Well, what is he supposed to do?
I mean, it is completely wrong to do anything, so anything such as raping a woman or trying to hurt somebody intentionally.
They're talking trash about you.
That is ridiculous.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, come on, man. Because a fan is entitled to say what they want to say.
No.
Oh, yeah.
They're not entitled to call me to comment on the size of my genitalia.
Oh, man. You need to Are you still a professional player?
No, because
you cannot take, if you're a professional player that is getting paid, you cannot take a fan calling your name. You need to do something else, buddy.
No, I still play because I still feel I can contribute to the game.
You can contribute to the game?
Yes, I see.
By making your team lose because you want to hit somebody on the stands, that's just you're contributing a lot.
I feel that I have a lot to contribute if the people in the stands would just shut up.
So I have a better idea. People just don't go to the games at all because that's part of the game. I mean, if you don't know, every sport in the world, that's part of the game.
Well, people talking. I want fans to still come to the game, but I want them to keep their comments to themselves because it hurts me.
Well, you can always be a little sissy. That's okay.
So now you're calling me a sissy, huh?
Well, to me, if you hurt your feelings, somebody's calling you something.
I hope you're not coming to any of my games because I'll foul one off of you.
That's why I think that some people like you shouldn't be allowed to play.
How can you hurt anybody with a soccer ball?
It doesn't matter.
That's out of the point. I mean, you're not only out there to hurt people. That's why you hurt people. You can't even think.
So you can't hurt anybody with a soccer ball. That's out of the point.
I would never try to hurt anybody with a soccer ball. I could jump into the stands and punch somebody. I mean, I've seen that happen before, and that is completely wrong.
But people
are talking trash. Give me a break.
European soccer players rape men who...
You already went down that road. No, they don't.
That is out of the point, buddy. I mean, you need to get in touch with reality. That's out of the point. If they do that, when they do that, it's completely wrong.
I thought it was jail rape.
So you think, according to you, if I'm out there playing soccer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do it anymore. But if I'm out there playing soccer... And there's this fan that is talking trash. I go up there and take his wife and rape his wife, and then I'm okay because, you know, he was talking trash about me. So I'm entitled to rape his wife.
I think you're entitled to express your anger, yeah.
And I should rape his wife.
Well, that's the way I should retaliate. I thought that was the custom of soccer players in Europe, if I'm wrong.
Come on, man.
I'm getting too old. Look, I want to get in touch with my feelings.
You're obviously getting in touch with your feminine side, that's for sure.
Look, I hope I don't see it in one of my games because I'll overthrow the pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, look. Itor, thanks for your call.
What?
So European soccer players rape the wives of guys that heckle them.
That is the standard tradition. And that's what makes the game so colorful.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I knew I didn't want to talk. I told you there was no way we were going to talk about this poor little kid in Columbus. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I can't stand them talking about the size of my,
All right, I understand. We're back on 1-800-449-8686 with Art Griego, professional baseball player who claims that in baseball, they aim for fans in the stands with foul balls and thrown balls to try to hit hecklers, people that are getting under their skin. Here's Ken on the Phil Hendry Show. Ken?
Yeah, Phil, I just wanted to comment on that, and I guess, everybody's different in what they do because I can't say, because I played from 72 to 76
with the organization
in minor leagues. And
you played baseball?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And what we did is what I tried to do.
How do you shut them up? That's what I want to know.
How do you shut these guys up? And what I do is ignore them. I really did. I ignored them and blocked it out because if you're playing in front of 5,000 people.
Do you put up with a guy commenting on the size of your genitalia, that kind of thing?
Didn't even bother me at all. Just told me how small a person he was.
That drives me around the bend.
What I tried to do is try to do as best I could on the field and ignore them and really get them really irritated. And that's the way we felt about it.
Yeah, but even if I did that, I remember I had a three-home run game once.
Uh-huh.
And this is against Portland. This guy didn't stop with the one-nut arch. I mean, just thinking about...
Look, at it, like this man said, how are you going to account for a guy's intelligence, all right?
This guy is yelling one-nut art from the stands.
Mm-hmm.
After every home run.
And how many guys were yelling it?
I had three home runs. I had eight RBIs that day.
Well, that's good.
I went 4 for 5, three homers, eight RBIs.
Right.
And this guy, all he could yell was, hey, there goes one-nut art.
Yeah, but who were you working for? You were working for somebody. You're trying to get to the big leagues, weren't you?
Who?
You were trying to get to the show, weren't you? You played minor league ball.
Yeah, I was working.
And you
at
said
the
you
time,
had a cup of coffee in the big leagues with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was playing the Pacific Coast League at the time.
Right.
And here's this guy.
Is, well, you're looking at it. I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
Who was really this? The guy that you knocked out?
This is the guy. Yeah, this was the boyfriend of my ex-wife.
Well, you know, maybe somebody's not comfortable with himself. You know, you got to have some issues. But
do you have?
Is, I'm trying to make a point.
Do you have a one nut?
Yes, I do.
Hey, big deal.
Well,
you know the thing is, if you didn't have any and you're castrated, just try to perform on the field. You had a great day that day. Maybe one of the scouts from Pittsburgh was watching, and they make a phone call. You're up in the show.
No, this is after they sent me down.
Well, you know that's too bad. Maybe there was another issue that on the radio that you haven't talked about, and you don't want to let nobody know about. That there had been a problem maybe with you.
What are you referring to? I do have one testicle. Okay.
Well, that's
but
fine.
Why does my wife got to let this drunk that she's dating know it, and now he's yelling it at every at-bat? See, that's what I'm talking about, Ken.
Yeah.
And if your ex-wife shows up at one of your games with some boyfriend, some sailor she picked up, and now the guy's yelling about your shortcomings, well, I'll tell you what I did is I aimed a foul ball right at that guy. I put him in the hospital for about a month and a half.
Yeah, I know you're real proud of that.
He's still got lace marks on his forehead.
Well, that's too bad.
Why?
I mean, you know, I know you're real proud of that.
Well, why is that too
bad?
Does
that make you like him and everybody else yelling at you? You just come down to his level. So but maybe, you know, like you said, you did it intentionally, but you said you got it thrown out of court. You
that's
know,
right.
It sounds like Johnny Cochran and OJ, but, you know, you couldn't, you know, make a big deal about it.
They're going to make it stick on me.
Well, that's fine, but I mean,
I played
you know,
for the Pirates.
There's issues and all that, but I just say this.
Are you saying I'm a homosexual?
No, he is not.
Well, I'm not even worried about that. I'll
He's
pray
saying
for
that
he
you ought to be a bigger person than the guy who called you one-nut art.
Here's the point I'm trying to make, though.
When it's your
the
own
thing
father,
is, just like when you're performing on a job with a manager, let me make my point
this
because
was
I know you got all night and I got to get ready to take care of some business.
This was my father that said this to me.
Your
but
father.
But the thing is, let me tell you,
yes.
Because you don't want to hear
your
anybody.
Your ex-wife was dating your father.
Yes.
That's fine. Let me make
that's
my point. You can go on
so
with the
So there's your
talk.
Father, drunk in a stands, calling you one-nut art, and that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine. That's, you know, because, see, I'm happy with myself. I'm not worried about what somebody's going to say, no matter what they say.
So your own father up in the grandstand saying, hey, one ball, Ken, yeah.
Hey, whatever. You know, then you got a, I guess you got a real problem then. But the thing
well,
is, what I'm
laughing,
trying to say,
see?
Though...
Oh, well, you quit
you
taking it personal.
Somebody that's even a manager.
Yeah.
And you're working for a manager, and he keeps giving you a hard time, okay?
I got
you
the tape
still
recording
do
right
the
here,
best
can
you can and be comfortable with that. That's what I'm trying to say. And if you're a professional athlete, which I was, the thing is, you got to figure out, where am I? What do I need to do to better myself?
That
do I need
it.
To do this? Yeah. And I do, you know, I must have a problem here,
right.
And I need to talk to somebody in management. Now, the thing is, this guy's singing on himself
again.
Out. Right. Making all these voices and this
hey,
and that, whatever.
That
you know, you got a problem.
Well, this guy's calling me one ball art.
So what?
And saying,
yeah, I
hey,
guess it's still
hey,
bothering you now, and you put him in a coma.
The guy says something like, hey, with, for a guy with one ball,
are you
going
to take this all the way to your grave, or
what's
are you going to just move on with your life?
They got the umpire yells 3 balls and 2 strikes. The guy says, no, 1 ball and 2 strikes. And
well,
this is
you write, have, did you write a book about this yet? You got to make some money
so
off
in other
of
words,
what
now
your
you're
shortcomings
making,
were
so that, you're making fun of me.
I'm not making fun
yeah,
of you
he's
because
just
you're,
saying,
you're hurting yourself.
Get past it, man. Just
you, thank you very
get
much.
Past
but listen, I
got
to get
right.
off the phone, but I'm glad I got to get a call in.
So if I was dating your father and we were making fun of you, how would you feel about
but
it?
But
okay.
See, I don't have anybody right. in the stands still bothering me.
All right.
Okay,
thank
you very much. It was your father, huh?
Yeah, he was dating my wife.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot. By the way, the voice of Art Griego, performed by me, and those guys that called in thought it was a real guy. 1-800-449-8686. Now, getting back to our Fiji pictures, one-nut art. Yeah, he was a hell of a ball player. Old, you remember Three Finger Brown? You remember Three Finger Brown for the St. Louis Browns? How about one-nut art? All right, let's go to our website, because I haven't finished with our Fiji travelcade yet. Ah, yes. The Fiji Travelcade. Now, let me just cue up the music, and boom, we're going to be in business here, baby. We got some pictures on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. If you go to, I think, page 3, you'll see a big picture of my face. Huh? Oh, page 2. Go to page 2, you'll see a big picture of my face. It's called Self-Portrait. I call it Way Too Much Kava. That would take a whole other show to explain kava, but basically kava is a national drink in Fiji, and the people use it there for as a tranquilizer almost. And every night before dinner, we'd sit around the kava bowl. The people would come in from the village with their kava, and we'd be knocking back this kava. So there's that picture. Now, below that, you'll see me in a sulu. That is the native dress. And the caption of the picture reads, "The next day, we are briefed on meeting the local chief. That's me in the middle wearing the sulu. We're trying to look like authentic Fijians." Yeah, because they're basically American tourists in dresses. And then below that is a picture of the chief himself. And by the way, the chief's wearing a Dr. Laura t-shirt, so that's kind of a nice thing. Now, the next picture, you'll see Maria drinking a bowl of kava. You only see the top of her head. And in the next picture, there's a bunch of Fiji village kids. And then there's the next picture of Maria talking with a lady in the local church and a bunch of other crap. So there it is, our Fiji Travelcade. Actually, I like the next page because it has pictures of us leaving. No, it has pictures of the, I think this is the one that has pictures of the coral reef. Yeah, some real nice shots of the coral reef over Fiji and all that stuff. It was really cool, man. And the Cousteau Resort was fantastic. And Randy, you're a great man. This seaplane was fantastic. Remember yesterday I was talking about taking off in a seaplane? There's pictures of the seaplane on the last page of our Fiji Adventure pictures. And you can get a good look at it there as it is sitting there at the pier. And then there's pictures of it taken off. These are pictures that I took from inside the plane. And then there's one with me headphones on looking like I'm doing air traffic control for Fiji traffic. And then the coral reefs. So I met this guy. Did I tell you about the surf camp? These guys have a surf camp over there. They drop about 40 surfers onto the coral reefs out there, and they surf for a week, and then they bring them out. And for that, you only pay like $80 million or something. I think it's just a deal. You go in with a backpack, a week's worth of dehydrated eggs, and for only $900 million, they drop your ass in the middle of a jungle. And give you some mosquito repellent and say, "Hope you don't get dung river fever. Bye." Anyway, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for our Phil's Fiji Adventure Pictures. And while you're there, sign up for a backstage pass to get all the quality audio from The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686 is the number to the show. By the way, pick up the Best of The Phil Henry Show CD, year 2001. Bring it. 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. This is the CD of our Best of material for the year 2001, and all the proceeds go to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. 877-616-7445.